Blog Talk Radio.
Giblets, it's the one, the only Brian Rails, and let me tell you something. There's a lot of news to report to you, not just WWE related, okay? I will get to the whole Enzo Amore debauchery later on in this broadcast because, quite frankly, even though a lot of allegations are going out, it's neither been confirmed nor denied, but the WWE did suspend Enzo Amore. As I said, I will get to that portion on Off the Rails, okay? Normally, I would suggest shocking announcements or, you know, ways to improve upon oneself. But see, I do that on a normal daily basis inside my own head. How can one improve oneself? How can one not end up like Enzo Amore? Well, as I said, the allegations have neither been confirmed or denied, but the company still went on ahead and suspended him because they have no room for that shit. And okay, I did say we're going to cover sports this year now, didn't I? The Eagles face the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That is all. And, oh, basically the referees. My bad, I misunderstood the pre-card that you gave me because, you know, last night we had such a good time after Raw, not during. During Monday Night Raw, there was the good, the bad, and the ugly. It wasn't as explosive as it could have been. The crowd still was huge in my hand. It was sold out from Barclays. I didn't go there. I decided, why not go to the Manhattan Center? Because, for me, it was more intimate. It was more of an old-school kick, and I cannot believe Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross fell asleep, although who can blame them? With this content, they had to dumb things down to the point where you saw segments that included D-Generation X, the Balor Club, The Undertaker's promo. He said, I've been burying or digging holes and taking souls. And he also laid down a challenge for WrestleMania that wasn't, well, I don't know who he laid the challenge to, but okay, maybe he did challenge his brother. I'm not sure. Maybe he challenged Cena. Who knows who The Undertaker challenged? Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy wrestled in the Manhattan Center. Jericho was a part of this. The women legends that did appear on Monday Night Raw were as follows. Jacqueline, I guess they considered Maryse a part of the women's revolution. So Maryse was there. Maria Kanellis. Michelle McCool. I'm surprised Beth Phoenix wasn't there. Maybe she had obligation. Lita, I didn't see her there. I saw Trish Stratus. I was happy to see her. They did have an all-inclusive women's match. Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, Mandy Rose. And, dear Lord, the booking just wasn't that great. The matches, there was very few of them. I did have a good time in the Manhattan Center. It wasn't all bad. It just, even I fell asleep during this thing because, you know, I was there since 3 p.m. to see them set it up the way they did. It was so cool. The Manhattan Center, holy Christ. The good parts of it was, you know, walking around and seeing the different sites. Like seeing the Ico Pro. I mean, my goodness, I have not seen a more retro setup in my life in Manhattan Center last night. I walked through that building and saw, it was so weird. I was 5 years old the last time that I walked through this building or through that building. And to see some of the people there. There's somebody dressed up like one of the disguises of Bobby Heenan. There's somebody there that had the Undertaker denim jacket from a long time ago. I mean, it was special. It was fun. I'm not going to lie. It was very nostalgic. So what were my overall thoughts on Monday Night Raw's 25th anniversary? It had its funny moments, especially during the poker game with Heath Slater and APA. MVP was there. Million Dollar Man was there. So it's not the lack of appearances. It was just the it was very lackluster. There was no pop on that show, of course, you know, because certain people have restrictions. They can't get in the ring and do work. Am I referring to the boss? Of course, you know, was able to do work. He's not my boss, but I'd refer to him as one. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, they got involved in the Revival's match against the Club. Fuck the Revival. I mean, then they claim that they are not entertainers. They are wrestlers. They are a dying breed. And not just them, but when you say shit like that, do you not think it resonates with they're supposed to be in their character makeup or what they're doing as a gimmick? Let me just say one, you know, a few things, actually more than a few things, about last night's Monday night debauchery. If I wanted to watch that bullshit, I could have stayed at home. I'm happy that Stone Cold Steve Austin came and, you know, some things never change. It just, I was hoping for more of an interaction from the women's side of things because I was hoping to see Trish Stratus get in the ring and maybe have a one-on-one match with Alexa Bliss. But I'm hoping against hope because Trish maybe wasn't ring ready. Like I said, there are things that I'd like to know as to why Monday Night Raw ended up the way it did. And simply because of fans around the world who are wrestling fans, the fans from Australia, from Canada, from London, England, they are probably disappointed in some aspects of it. And some of the fans that have the IQ of 12 thought it was a damn good show because all the legends showed up. Well, if you like seeing people paraded and walking around, walking their asses on stage, they could have done that shit at a fucking Hall of Fame. I'm just saying, you want me to be honest, right? Then here it is, folks. In the span of, wow, that's a new record, 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes, I managed to tell you guys my thought and perception. If people are putting beach balls in the audience, or, you know, getting beach balls in the audience, don't you think that's a hint that the show is somewhat entertaining, but it needs a little bit more? It is, after all, in Brooklyn and Manhattan, because Manhattan Center, you know, it's been home to places or promotions like Ring of Honor. The Manhattan Center's also been home to, oh, gee, ECW. So the overall quality, doesn't matter how much quantity of superstar you had last night, what matters is that the show was so up and down. The best part of Monday Night Raw's three-hour segment, yo, was when Braun Strowman and Kane and Lesnar came out and they're promoting the triple threat match, and Lesnar just absolutely gets launched into the barricade. Yeah, it was nice sitting down and watching that from the Manhattan Center. I guess, you know, the reason why I chose the Manhattan Center because I felt that the big names were going to come there. The Undertaker. Oh, boy. The Dudley Boys were there last night as well. They look like they can still go. Are they going to be a part of the Royal Rumble? Most likely. Probably not going to have a big spot at all. They're probably just going to get eliminated after a while. I don't know. But what I'm saying to you all is this. Last night's show was just as bad as the... I'm not a Giants fan, but they're just as bad as the fucking New York Giants football season, okay? And the Jets, for that matter, too. Ellie, well, if SmackDown Live puts on a better show than the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw, I'm going to fucking laugh. Because SmackDown Live has been proving once again that they're not the B-show, but according to Survivor Series, they get labeled as such. Because they had big plans for a certain someone. Unfortunately, he got hurt. Ambrose is who I'm referring to, Jason Jordan. You know, here's the thing, guys. Monday Night Raw was a complete and utter mess because it was to be a celebration. It was. Did people come out and watch this show? Yeah, I paid $175.62 to watch with a friend of mine. Well, I actually had to pay him that because he bought. I got the ticket. I was obligated to watch, so I can actually say something because I was there. It's my because I subjected myself to seeing said material that looked like shit. It looked like they just slopped together, hey, can you show up and we'll work something out. That's not how that works, but in my opinion, this is how I believe the planning for the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw kind of worked. They got enough money to pay people that had not been there in quite some time. The Boogeyman, Teddy Long, John Laurinaitis, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Trish Stratus. You advertise those legends, man. I know a part of them is saying, I want to go. I don't know if I should. Is it? Am I going to be healthy by the time this shit ends? Trish Stratus looked pretty damn good. So did Michelle McCool. Not that I care for Michelle McCool, but Trish Stratus, goddammit. How about Stone Cold Steve Austin, who gave, you know, his knees are shot to shit, and he's giving stunners to Vince and Shane. Obviously, you know, if Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross are falling asleep because someone captured that, freaking creepy bastards, but here's what I got to say. In all honesty, there's good, which was, I don't know what the point of booking Bray Wyatt, Matt Hardy. Is it supposed to be a seesaw booking? Because the way that I viewed last night's show is, did I just waste most of my time and effort to get in a hurry, get in a hurry for after the show was done, after the podcast last night. Just vamoose. And sit there and, you know, have conversation with, I wish Hogan was there. I wish Nash was here. I mean, there's here and there's. At least they salvaged some of it. But I'm just disappointed because the way it was presented, no legends got involved except for Austin. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, they're like, would you rather have them get hurt, you know, and you don't understand how this business works. Forgive me, I'm still learning. But when I saw last night's Monday Night Raw, there's just no fucking excuse. There really is none. 25 years, and you put on a mediocre show. I want to see the ratings for this said show because I'm just curious as to how what the numbers are. If they're high, then they probably is because they're probably high because of all the legends and names that were there last night. But to, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pause for 10 seconds of identification right here on the Wrestle Radio Network.
Got it.
I didn't lie. 6.02 million viewers of the similar 1,000 Raw special in 2012. Okay, so never mind. And will most likely be the largest number of 2018. So Raw easily the most watched on cable. Well, second place going to Rachel Maddow on MSNBC at 2.92 million viewers. It was behind ABC, CBS, and ABC, but it beat Fox in the first hour of the fourth place in that hour on television. The 3 hours were 8 p.m., 4.8 million, 4.64, and 10 p.m., 4.15. So it barely, as expected, the 25th anniversary of Raw drew monster ratings, averaging 4.5 million viewers. So, comparatively speaking to the 1,000th edition of Monday Night Raw, according to the website F4WOnline.com, it's saying the WWE drew more ratings than it has all year long. Because the average ratings for WWE Raw, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not quoting, I'm citing, according to Garrowick.net and many other websites. And this is a conclusive, this has conclusive evidence. 2.6 million, that's, you know, fairly above average, just barely pushing it, getting the ratings going, and you know what? I still watch it. I must be a sick individual to turn on my TV and expect something from Monday Night Raw. And you know what? I at least got to see who I wanted to see, and that was Trish Stratus. I got to see Jacqueline and all the lovely ladies. I'm sure they didn't want to work because they go all out of their way to go to New York. They see all the fans are still in adulation for them, but at the same token, guys, I'm not going to retract anything that I just said because they still gained viewership. They still sold merchandise. They sold me on a T-shirt for flying fuck's sakes. I got mine on sale for $15. It's not called finagling. It's just called, well, me bargaining. Actually, no, that was the price of the truck because you'll figure out the price of the truck is, the, you know, either the same or somewhat different than what they have going on inside the or at the merch tables. Manhattan Center looks just the same when you enter the door. The locker room is very theatrical. It's got good acoustics. They were able to fit a small Videotron inside there. The old logo was up. So comparatively speaking, which one was better, the Manhattan Center or Barclays? A lot of people were thrilled to see Chris Jericho, who just recently got done doing one of the most beautiful battles I've ever seen in my life against Kenny Omega. Jericho's role was minimal last night. That's fine. I don't care. They had Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews with Dana Brooke at ringside facing off against Heath Slater and Rhino. Rhino saw his old compadres in there with the Dudley Boys. I don't know if there's some strange alliance between Rhino and Heath Slater, Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews. Although I do know the only saving grace so far right now in WWE, tonight, right after SmackDown Live goes off the air, go to Facebook, your Facebook Live, and you will see a mixed match challenge match tonight. The Miz and Asuka face off against Carmella and Big E from The New Day. This is going to be amazing. I believe Asuka has not been defeated yet, and speaking of Asuka, she was one of the bright spots last night on Monday Night Raw. It's not all bad. It's just, it's kind of frustrating that they weren't able to push, in, you know, for a bigger celebration. For a show to last 25 years, it is a huge accomplishment, and I'm not taking away anything from Vince McMahon or the people who helped create it. And what's cool is there's some cool moments, like Mike Chioda, a referee, one of the very referees still left after the 25 years that Raw has been on air. Mike Chioda, he is one of the few originals left Earl Hebner got fired. Brian Hebner, I don't know. He's probably, yeah, he's gone. You've Armstrong still there, but he's seldom, you know, he works bigger matches. John Cone is now the main aficionado. The main man behind the main event matches, the curtain jerk matches, any match, John Cone is the man. But speaking of the atmosphere last night, if you want to say that it was crappy, you got to give reason. I'm giving reasons as to why I didn't really appreciate the 25th edition of Monday Night Raw. I liked being live and saying, hey, I was there, but I didn't like some aspects of the show. Like, I really thought the APA was going to get involved. You know, all the legends didn't really do anything with Lesnar and Strowman. If you notice, I keep speaking about Braun Strowman because the man is the real-life Hulk. Have you seen what he's done to certain superstars? And I'm not just saying a man gives a running power slam, is fucking boring, his gimmick's horrible, he's just a big tall guy. He's not the new Big Show. What he is he's the Big Show amplified times 10. Big Show, and most big guys are known as slow, methodical. They don't really work all that well. They, you know, they're slow, but they make the other guy look good because he's the David and he's the Goliath. Braun Strowman proves a good point as to why big men can do things normal guys can too, like a dropkick. I've never seen anybody dropkick the Big Show and actually move him. Braun Strowman is one of those freaks of nature that basically knows what he's doing. And it makes it for exciting, compelling television. I sound like an old fart bitching and moaning. But here's the thing, guys. I watch WWE most of my life. I did turn on WCW beforehand. But watching Monday Night Raw, it's funny. Eric Bischoff got a pop last night at Barclays. Teddy Long, of course, you know, everyone remembers him being the SmackDown Live general manager, or back then SmackDown, John Laurinaitis. So they had basically an introduction of general managers. They basically formatted the show to basically captivate the audience somewhat. They didn't really have any matches. I would have appreciated, like, a Legends match, maybe the Dudley Boys versus the APA. I guarantee you Ron Simmons can still go. But now he's just reduced to, damn. I'm sure he can do much more. Trust me, and I don't want to be the forefront of the reason why he beats my ass. That's what I'm telling you. It could have been interesting to have a Legends match instead of the Legends getting involved as more or less security guards at the end of the segment for Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, and Kane. That segment was interesting. It was cool to see Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt's match in its entirety inside the Manhattan Center. Now, what's more funny is that, yeah, they split, okay, who wants to do Manhattan Center, who wants to do Barclays? So the Million Dollar Man was involved in a kind of like a comedic sketch. Dana Brooke, also, you know, the businesswoman attached to Titus Worldwide. There's so much to keep track of. Three favorite segments were Stone Cold Steve Austin at the beginning of the show with Shane Vince, you know, two stunners. You know, the end, if you're asking me what my middle favorite was, the women's match, the 8-woman tag match where Asuka just went nutso on her own partners. Then the final segment that was my favorite was probably, actually there's a tie. I do have an affinity for DX. I do have an affinity for the Balor Club. There's just so many things that need fine-tuning, though. if you were to redo the 25th anniversary. You can't redo it because it was January 22nd, 1993, and now yesterday was January 22nd, 2018. The question remains, what were my favorite things about the 25th? I just told you. Lori, where are you from? Okay, so Lori from West Virginia. Wow, I have never had a fan message me from there. All right, so your question to me is, what would I have done differently since I'm such the all-knowing expert on Monday? I never said I was the all-knowing expert. I'm just stating my opinion. And here's what I believe could have made the show better. First and foremost, like I said, there could have been a Legends match. Just one. You don't need two. Probably have five matches on one end and five matches on the other. You got to overload the segments because there's 3 hours to fill, right? So if you have, on average, 15-minute to 20-minute matches, okay, five of those take up an hour. Another five takes up an hour. Then one Legends match as a sub-main, and then at the end of the match, or the end of the night, you know, that's when the Legends come out all at once, and you have the reunion you're looking for. But instead, you have a clusterfuck at the beginning. You have Stone Cold Steve Austin stunning, the fans love it, so that's not a clusterfuck. What I'm referring to is, okay, the bookings that didn't make sense to me, Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy. They got to build something or semblance of a rivalry between Bray and Matt. It's interesting that Jerry Lawler and JR were not Barclays, and Manhattan Center didn't have, well, they didn't have Graves, Cole, and the third wheel, Booker T. I just find it amazing that certain things went the way they did, because like I said, I'm not the one who books this shit, thank God, because that would be a headache. But I do, however, have a suggestion, because after all, you observe, you think, you know what would be best, so you just put forth your 2 cents. And here's my 2 cents on the whole thing. It's good, bad, ugly, indifferent. People who watch the show, people who didn't watch or care for the show. There's so much of that, though. I mean, the person that just said this, there's a lot of fans who enjoyed last night's show because, oh, yay, see somebody pop. What do you want them to do? Not show up? My thing is, I'm happy that Chris Jericho was there. Maybe he didn't want to work that night. Hell, I don't know. I'm not inside his brain. I'm not going to pick Jericho's brain and say, hey, why didn't you wrestle last night? However, I'm going to tell you is this. Watching last night's show, the reason why I said I could have watched this bullshit at home is because when you take the time out to go to an autograph sign, you take the time out to pay for a ticket that someone else got because someone couldn't make it, it makes you feel like, okay, all you owe us is a good show. And what we got was half-assed, lumped together, crock of shit. Here's a presentation of over 25 years. Come on now. You want to appreciate your fans? You want to appreciate how things run and operate? And you think you know what the... Okay, so the fans pop big time in Manhattan Center more than they did in Barclays. Barclays had here and there pops where they would listen to somebody, okay, and like any normal crowd, boo, hey, boo, hiss. You knew how predictable it's going to be because sometimes WWE spoils New York and sometimes they don't. But most, you know, most for the most effect, it's not based off what the crowd is. And a misconception of how people book. People I'm referring to, WWE creative staff, I'm not a part of it. I'm not claiming to be. But here's the thing. Here is one of the main things that I always tell people. I'm not going to say, well, it's always, you know, Vince McMahon's fault the way things were tonight, yada, yada, yada. No, it's a collective effort as to why things were shitty last night in some aspects, in some regards. It looked like Stone Cold, you see, someone just sent me a clip of Stone Cold stunning Shane, and then basically Vince and Austin in the ring were saying, well, you know how this is going to work. They censored the freaking middle fingers. And see, and the other thing is the content. You have to adjust your content to today's audience because they get butthurt if you say the word ass, bitch, or words ass, bitch, deep. You know, of course you can't drop F-bombs on fucking wrestling, but it's my bad. There's no bleeping button on my fucking show. But because most kids watch and they will repeat anything and everything they say, so the WWE's gotten tired of hearing a lawsuit. Sigh, collective sigh about that shit, because back in the day, guys would bleed in the ring. We could all sit here and reminisce about back in the day, how the Attitude Era was the greatest era of all, you know, according to certain people my age. It was an interesting era. Definitely, you know, people would tune in to watch the show. They would sit at the edge of their seats, and they would wait. They would wait for things just to get edgy between The Undertaker and Stephanie McMahon, for example. Those segments when The Undertaker used to hang people on The Undertaker symbol. I believe some of us remember that. And for some weird reason, you know, even the network has parental, you know, controls on it. It's ridiculous. I mean, you're going to be exposed to people cussing at you. You're going to be exposed to people painting a very vague picture for you if they don't fucking like you. Not just people interaction, but when you get into a fight, you can't say that to me because they don't say it on WWE. What I'm referring to, guys, is the content, the words, the way people might. I don't care as long as you get the message across. It's annoying, though, that they can't, you know, occasionally drop a cuss word in there. Bitch is allowed. Shit, obviously, no. Word-wise, content-wise, last night's Raw, oh, you didn't know? Then you better call somebody. It used to be, oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody. So what, he didn't add the your ass part. But that's what made him, Road Dogg's calling out to the crowd so great. I was disappointed that CM Punk didn't show up to WWE Raw. Kelly from Benton, Missouri. Oh, okay. Oh, girl, my bad. You typed it in wrong. That's funny. Well, here's the thing. If you were disappointed, so were I and the rest of the other folk who believed that CM Punk was going to be in the building. After all, he was a huge part of Monday Night Raw. It would have been even awesome if he was just there for a night. If you're there for a show, the respect and courtesy that is to be shown is fill in the blank. I was there. I bought a shirt. I watched the entire 3 hours. It was back and forth. It was like one of those specials. It's like back in the day, closed circuit television back in the 1980s, where you sit and you watch a program to your heart's content. And then when it gets boring as shit, you know, you walk up and leave. But back then, you know, when Vince had the very first WrestleMania where people could watch it from movie theaters, you would pay just to sit there and watch, you know, Liberace and Muhammad Ali and Mr. T show up in the very first edition of Monday Night, or not Monday Night, but
WrestleMania. So how does WrestleMania have anything to do with Monday Night Raw? WrestleMania became before Monday Night Raw exactly 9 years before. So you keep having to constantly evolve shit, but the way things are presented last night on last night's show of the 25th edition of Monday Night Raw, I got to say, compared to the 1,000th edition, which I was at also, let me think on this one, shall we? There's just no excuse for the way things were presented. It's very half-assed. There's probably, like I said, they could have had 5 matches at Barclays, 5 matches at, you know, Manhattan Center. The Undertaker looked healthy. He walked out pretty, you know, looking pretty decent, cutting a promo. Not just the Undertaker who showed up there. You know, obviously, it would have been cool if The Rock would have shown up. There's a lot of things that if they could, they would have, could have, should have, they fucking didn't. And it's okay because I do realize they're trying not to put all eggs in one basket, but at the same token, it was just so disappointing because if a friend of mine is falling asleep in the row watching this shit, it's all because, you know, sometimes you go to an event, you get all riled up, you buy stuff, you walk around the arena, and you say, okay, tonight's going to be a damn decent show. I'm going to have a damn good time. I'm going to turn on later and watch it later when it comes on the replay on the network. This one, I don't think I'm going to watch a replay. I think I'm just going to be sick to my stomach because I spent most of my time either dodging a beach ball or, you know, spent time people in the rows talking about, oh, I hope CM Punk shows up. Wouldn't it be badass if he showed up in the Manhattan Center? There's so much people don't know that they should. And this is going to be a perfect segue for the advertisements. For those of you wishing to sign up for the WWE Network and catch the lovely edition of 1,000th edition of Monday Night Raw in your house, AWA, more organizations to be found, not just WWE exclusive content. WWE Network is exclusive now, exclusively showing Ring of Honor, IWGP, New Japan, NOAH, AWA, NWA, IWA, Mansell, and so much more content has been added to the network. For those of you wishing to sign up, you get your first month free if you have not signed up for the network. For those of you who want to sign up and pay $9.99 per month, use a username, your valid email address, and also a valid password. Make sure you have also a valid credit card or debit card, or you can pick up a WWE gift card or preloaded card, which is $24.97. It gets you 3 months additional into the first month of having it free. So if you want to get a preloaded card, you can get those at your local GameStops, Dollar Generals, Best Buy, 7-Elevens, and Walmarts. Speaking of networks, if you'd like to go to Flow Slam or go to New Japan, you can sign up for those networks. They're also $9.99. I don't know how much per month it'd be, but I'm pretty sure it's the same. Monster Factory Network is cheaper, though, folks, by $1.50 or less. Or more, my bad, monsterfactory.org. If you'd like to go to a wrestling school today, you can do so by signing up at monsterfactory.org. And he, being Danny Cage, has a super camp coming up April 20th and 21st. Tickets available from $75, $100, $125, $210. You do not have to do both days of camp, but you must sign up quick before this deal ends. And make sure that the Eagles win the Super Bowl, too. That has something to do with it because Eagles is Danny's team. And good luck to you guys in the Super Bowl. Hopefully you kick the fucking crap out of the Patriots, because why? Patriots can go fuck themselves. And, one day, I will cheer for the Eagles because I cannot stand the Patriots. I cannot stand them because my team started the dynasty. Long story short,
Sign up for the camp. Follow the instructions. Message Danny, his number. It can be found on the Monster Factory website. It can also be found on the vehicle that Danny drives to the school in Paulsboro. It can also be found on the website, social media such as Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Danny has two. Trust me, he is amazing at running social media. He is the bomb diggity. If you have any questions, contact him ASAP. All right, folks. For those of you wanting to attend a school in the Midwest, you can do so by going to braveforblack.com in Iowa. Sign up and see how much you can afford. Be sure to make sacrifices when you try to join pro wrestling schools. Trust me. If those of you want to go to a wrestling school in Kansas City, you can do so by going to NWLTPC on Google or NWLLeague.com. Look under school, set up an appointment, make your dreams of becoming a pro wrestler come true today. Set up an appointment first so that they know that you're serious about this, okay? Remember, for those of you wanting to go see NWL this Saturday, you can do so. You can get your tickets at NWLLeague.com. General admission, they sometimes have sales at $10, and you know, normally it is $20, $30 for middle row and $40 for the front row. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does it for the advertisements. Well, not really. For those of you wanting to fight the good fight against cancer, go to SusanGCohen.org. You can also go to Cure for Connor. Be sure to donate your money and your time. Do the marathons, do the jogs, do the walks. Help a loved one get through this thing we call cancer and kick cancer's ass by funding the research to help fight it. For those of you who have a child who is terminally ill or is suffering from any kind of ailment that is keeping them from joining the normal world, you can go to makeawish.com, type in the name of the celebrity or artist or whomever that they wish to see and spend time with. Make sure you type in the right name. That's makeawish.com. It's grants so many wishes, and it's an amazing organization. Please help fund it. All right, folks. That does it for the advertisement. Now we're back into discussion about Monday Night Raw. Later on today, during today's show, we will be discussing what happened with the latest from Enzo Amore. Oy vey. That's all I'm going to say. And I think it's about time, folks. We're going to stick to the old school theme because I think that one works better. But, you know, then again, I really don't think old school and new school kind of commingle because... Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. Thanks, guys, for interrupting me. But I do know that I've been reading around that Enzo Amore, there's been rape allegations, and the person who made these allegations is unbeknownst to sources. But certain sources such as WrestlingNews.co, Cageside Seats, and Bleacher Report, and Lukita Sports have basically cited that Enzo has now been indefinitely suspended by WWE until further notice. They haven't released him, and that's kind of funny. People are being for joy that Enzo's gone. Well, here's the problem. You get rid of Enzo, the cruiserweight division goes back to being shit. And by shit, I mean those guys are just like the kids at the kiddie table, trying to pick the scraps of what main rosters going to give them. I mean, they've got talented names on there. They've got Jack Gallagher. They've got Brian Kendrick. They've got Cedric Alexander. They've got Arya Daivari. I'm pretty sure those guys are relieved that Enzo is gone. I'm pretty sure that Corey Graves is relieved that he doesn't have to put up with Enzo. It's funny because I'm looking here at what my lovely esteemed techs have sent me via email because they said they didn't want to get me sick, which is hilarious because you sat there last night sneezing and wheezing at me. And here I am on this show reporting to you live from the studio and comfort of my own bedroom in Brooklyn, New York. Oy vey. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification, ladies and gents. Enjoy this lovely, lovely music. Okay, so according to Deadspin.com, pro wrestler Enzo Amore, whose real name is Eric Arn, was released by WWE today. In a statement announcing his suspension yesterday, WWE said that the organization has zero tolerance for matters involving sexual harassment or sexual assault. Before WWE's announcement, Pro Wrestling Sheet reported that Arn is currently being investigated by Arizona police in connection with a rape allegation. Yesterday, a woman who says she was raped by Arn tweeted on account of the alleged incident. Her account is as follows. Tyler and Tupor invited me to their friend's hotel to hang out with their friend, and I went. Basically, they got me so fucked up, coke, meth, weed, I went into psychosis. The guy told Tupor's and Tyler that he was going to rape me, and at first they were like, please don't, like you really shouldn't. But then they gave up and were like, okay, have fun. Tupor kissed me on the cheek, and they left me there with them. It was such a brutal rape. Like, I'm still fucked up from what I haven't had sex since October, which is when it happened. I'm in the process of pressing charges. The guy who raped me is a famous WWE wrestler at Real One. That's his, you know, his nose twiddle. Twitter handler, and it says, the original question Tupor asked me was if I would suck Enzo's dick. I said, possibly, but if I wasn't down, she said we could all just hang out. Then they got me fucked up, and they let me know that was about to happen. When Enzo, the WWE guy, stated, coming on to me, I was passed out on the couch. I said, I want to get to know you first before doing anything. He replied, bitch, I have a million followers on Instagram. You should be begging for this dick. And then he restrained me, and it happened. I never would be in this dramatic about something like, or I'd never be dramatic about something like this, but I want you all to know that I would have left if I could. I was in psychosis. I had no idea what was going on. I remember bits and pieces, and I have constant flashbacks. My mental issues have been the worst ever. And I suffer from major PTSD from it. According to ABC 15, local police have confirmed that they are investigating Arn and that the alleged incident took place on October 19, 2017 at the Clarendon Hotel and Spa. Fightful Online is reporting that Arn was aware of the charges against him but did not disclose them to WWE. Boy, so here's the problem, guys. Most of the allegations going on nowadays about rape, you can't deny them. You can't really ever say, okay, this didn't happen to you. So my situation is this. Until facts are drawn, until there's evidence and more evidence than just her say, then yeah, I don't doubt that Enzo did something that's stupid. What I'm telling you is, when it comes to a situation like this, it's very sensitive to discuss on air, so I'm going to leave it like this. Enzo Amore has done some pretty low-ball things. And if he does get hired back on, so be it. He's a scuzzball. I'm going to say it. How the fuck did I support this guy? I, as a fan, I ain't going to lie. How you going to tell me that he, you know, he sounds fucked up in the head to me. She waited all this time to now report to police. Okay, because it's going to get a lot of people upset that have went through rape or molestation, and it's like a subject like religion, a subject like certain sports, and you just don't want to discuss it with people because people either get butthurt or they say something stupid or they start debates. You know, like in politics when the Republican stands up and says, I got a really bad idea. Sorry, I'm paraphrasing the awesome, awesome motherfucker known as Lewis Black. And then a Democrat stands up and says, and I can make it shittier. The allegations concerning Enzo, here's my thought process on this, folks. If the woman waited to report Enzo, and now he's under investigation, and pretty much I'm pretty sure the most majority of the staff of WWE saying it's unfortunate, but you know we cannot do anything, our hands are tied, because they probably know something bad's about to go down. If Enzo acknowledged it, really, I mean, he is aware of said charges. So does she have proof that Enzo, you know, did this to her? That's your question? Again, dude, like I said, this shit's so fucked up. They've got people that are probably going to retract his merchandise. They're not even going to put Certified G on there. If Cass can, you know, sell it or resell it, it'd be okay. Because he was also part of the trio between him, Carmella, and that. But that's not the focus. The focus is Enzo raped somebody, you know, forced her to give him oral sex, according to the report. But like I said, her report seems so back and forth. And his report, he's not denying that he was around her, which makes you think, oh boy, which party is telling the truth? And some people are going to jump the fucking gun and say, well, you know he's guilty of it because he's the man in the situation. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody because I'm not involved in this situation. But there's also a lot of other factors as to why Enzo didn't have any backing, because the company said, we do not tolerate, you know, rape at all. Because that's a sensitive subject regarding any workplace. So here's what I'm going to say. If you think that the WWE handled it wrong, I'm just going to tell you, if you owned a Fortune 500 company, you had to uphold your company's legacy. How would you go about doing so? How would you, an individual, handle the situation that Enzo Amore created? Because facts are facts, man. If she came forward as of late because she realized either, one, she can get closure, two, I don't know the fucking situation, and I'm not really going to side with anybody on this, but what Enzo does in his personal life is his business. And unfortunately, what he did was he got attention to himself, and the WWE just said, nah, I'm sorry, you're going to be stripped of all your accolades and all that you've accomplished. If the one thing that hinders
a superstar, whether it be WWE, whether it be NFL, the NBA, the Olympic swim team, a tennis player. There are a lot of allegations in this world, and sexual harassment and rape is real. Why are people sitting there saying, well, how do they have any proof? That's the first words that come out of people's mouths, because we're all doubting Thomases, yo. For those of you who don't get that reference, go and read it online. I'm not going to fucking start a religious discussion here. If you believe everything that someone says, you're naive. If you only believe authoritative figures, or you do as you're told, you're labeled as the person that's a goody two-shoes or just kisses ass. This society, ladies and gentlemen, is all kinds of fucked up. And let me tell you, Enzo didn't have, you know, any problems of running his mouth while he was in WWE. Here's some things you really know and fail to understand. If Enzo Amore is getting the casual fan to say, my name is Enzo Amore and I am a certified G, and you can't teach that. Bada boom, coolest dude in the room, how you doing? His catchphrases weren't the problem. He himself. There were reports of him changing outside in the locker room. I'm not going to go through all of the mess. There were certain factors that separated him in a bad way with the company. Some failed to realize, I heard he got, you know, his own changing, he got to change outside the locker room. Do you know how many people, bro, would have died to be inside a WWE locker room and going from town to town? I mean, I guess people could say WWE flubbed up. No, they didn't. They've got a company that employs over 700 plus people. They have more than one home base of a company. So why would they be worried to help out Enzo Amore? Because I guarantee you, if this was back in the day, then you're looking at Vince or Hunter or someone or the legal attorneys trying to help Enzo out. A man has $1 million, but why would he not? Or why would he need, you know, oral fixation? You know, not just because you make $1 million, that does not give you the right to force yourself upon people. Whether he did or didn't, I know a lot of you hate Enzo. I know that most of the time that I just, you know, watched him, he was entertaining. Some people say, oh, he ran his mouth. So it's always going to be an uphill battle with this discussion. It's a debate that people say he's rude, he ran his mouth, I didn't like him. Then let me tell you, fuck something. I don't like him either, but a part of me wants to tell you, what do you do before a match? You promo, right? If you're lucky, you can intimidate people with your presence. Most of you, that ain't the fucking case. Except for unless your name is Braun Strowman or Brock Lesnar or some other big Keith Lee, Matt Riddle. You want to talk about Jeff Cobb. I want to talk about people who can't handle themselves outside the business because, one, they either run their mouth. Two, they lie. Three, they cheat. Four, they steal. No, they're not Eddie Guerrero, but Enzo Amore basically had the principle, those three principles down for his gimmick. This is what happens when you are a classless act, bro. If you sit there on Twitter bashing people, I'm not saying I'm perfect either, because I've had my fair share of problems with a group of people who I'm done dealing with. Because why? Why prolong that? Point is, yeah, I got fired for a different reason. Mine had nothing to do with rape or sexual harassment allegations. But when people sit there and say stuff like, oh, well, it's good riddance, you know, he did run his mouth. Guys, he hasn't been convicted yet. I'm pretty sure if he is, then okay. It's pretty most likely Enzo said or did something stupid. She doesn't have fucking physical proof. It's amazing how people are like, well, mentally or from a mental standpoint, he did this to me, he did that to me. I got to say this. There's two sides to every story. Whether or not you agree or disagree, I don't give a fuck. This dude was a huge douche canoe during the Straight to the Source interview, and not just during that time period. When Cass got hurt, this guy left a tweet, an actual tweet, saying, you know, poor cry, cry, baby, blah, 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 blah. Karma comes back to bite you in the worst kind of way. If you don't make peace with the people who fucked you over, or who you think fucked you over, or at least try to be civil with them, then you're going to have a long, painful, grudging life. Enzo, basically, when he and Cass separated, that was the worst for him, because even before that, people would say, you know, he runs his mouth, and he just, for the life of me, when they repackaged him in NXT, it, to me, it just said, okay, he's a stereotypical Guido gimmick. Then it, you know, it evolved into, hey, you know, I'm this cool guy, I hang out with Carmella, I hang out with Cass. Now, you fast forward from 2015 to 16, Enzo really didn't shine all that much. He's just a joke. And I always wondered, why isn't he and Cass getting a push? And it dawned on me now, after watching his behavior on an interview, not just one, but he just, I don't know, he just fell off the map for now. All this shit about a stripper, you know, claiming that he promised the money, so WWE must have paid lawyers and stuff to say hush, hush. But this one, guys, this is getting out of hand. So now, even included in WWE, a rape scandal, an allegation of rape is a no-no in WWE or any workplace. It's getting to the point where all these allegations you see on the news pop up, but it hits home when something you watch on a fucking daily, like, gee, I don't know, SmackDown Live, Raw, Ring of Honor, New Japan, it hits home. Let's say Kenny Omega is in trouble for raping a 16-year-old. You see, right there you think, well, how the hell could Kenny Omega rape a 16-year-old girl? How could anybody touch anybody if they don't want to be touched? Yeah, this is getting real. Okay? Enzo, it just, you're kind of at a loss for words, because you think to yourself, okay, I've had enough. You know, I bought some of his shirts, I'm not going to lie. I had fun reciting with him.
what was recited up until, you know, when he broke, they broke end zone cast up. Some people do not fully recover. Some people are still stuck in their past. Enzo, from just observing him, he was really good with kids, but apparently not good with adults, because adults, just some of them hate him, some of them love him. Same with kids. Some people like him and some people absolutely wanted to obliterate him. You cannot sit there as a company and say, okay, well, I guess we're going to keep this lady or woman's mouth shut. The fact that he was aware of these charges since October of last year. Holy fuck. How does a person know, oh yeah, I'm going to be charged with it, bro. If I'm guilty, I'm guilty, but I know I'm not guilty. That's how he fucking would sound. I'm not saying that's word for word what he said. But this has got people buzzing and laughing. Look, guys, Enzo is not the whole company. Obviously, Braun Strowman has taken this company by storm. For the first time, a giant, aside from Andre the Giant's popular, but Enzo was kind of like the lovable douchebag. You know, he's funny. I know Corey Graves is doing a happy jig, because if you watch straight to the source, in the interview that Corey Graves had with Enzo Amore, Enzo was basically the biggest douche canoe that I've ever seen in my fucking life. And the reason I say this is because the way he answered questions was the way that his mannerisms were, made him seem like a douchebag. Like, oh no, bro, he got up to second base and he did my dance. You're not a failure as a father, you're just a really sucky wrestler. Enzo comparing himself to Ric Flair even caught Corey Graves' attention for a reason. Because when you make your own accolades, you make your own decisions, and you make your own statements, there's power behind it, and there's also a punishment. Because for every action, there is a reaction. You know shit's going to hit the fan if Enzo ends up in prison. That's really sad and also funny at the same time, because if people sit there and deny that they did something, they can't recall. And like my instance, I've had some instances in my life where I don't recall certain things that I said back in high school, and I really can't remember, honestly, because I'm bipolar, and that should never ever be an excuse for anything but my memory. Let's see, I went from taking certain medication to evolving that, and now I'm in a better place. I'm still sorting things out in my own fucking head. But with Enzo, there needed to be some kind of supervision with him. Not someone hold his hand and say, you can't say this, you can't do this. But someone needs a fucking publicist with him or some kind of liaison. But like I said, the WWE wants you to figure shit out for yourself, because at his age, at 31 years old, he should be able to know the difference between right and wrong. Enzo should be able to know how to present himself in a professional manner. I mean, it's really sad. You have everything going for you. You get called up to Monday Night Raw, the main roster. You work so hard in NXT. You show up every day. You show up sick. You show up decrepit. You show up with a hurt ankle. And he throws it all away because he was aware of said rape allegations by this woman from Arizona. So, she said, if I feel a connection, then I will do something with you. There's some holes in this story, and I'm assuming it's not just hers. There's some definite holes, because you know Enzo likes to run his mouth. Yeah, he may be the realest guy in the room when it comes to stating facts. But the problem is the fucking inevitable, or no, the inevitable was about to happen. With all these allegations, for example, not just the stripper, but getting kicked off a tour bus. Not just sitting out or being forced to change outside the normal locker room, but I'm pretty sure that Enzo, when he wrestled by himself as an individual, he really didn't fit the bill on the main roster. When he adjusted to the cruiserweight division, it was even worse because they're like, oh joy, here comes Enzo. So to reflect back on his career, he started out with, you know, short black hair. Then they repackaged him and made him Enzo Amore, a stereotypical Guido, you know, New Yorker, which was cool because you could adjust yourself and really wasn't all that big of a deal. But I do know is that people always say, I always hated him. I couldn't stand him. He runs his mouth. I've got something to say to you. I don't like Enzo either, but what exactly do you do when you're online, you know, being a little fucking keyboard warrior and saying the shit that you do, because your side of the generation can, you know, can kiss the Xennial's ass. The X generation, we call ourselves Xennials. The point is, if we're reflecting upon what Enzo just did, it's not just one incident. There's plenty. And I don't have the time nor the patience to sit there and read to you all of what Enzo's done. Because I literally just did that in the span of, well, 20 minutes. I don't have any issues with, you know, people running their mouths. It's the fact that online, are you the pot or the kettle? So what does The Miz do? What does Baron Corbin do? What does Dolph Ziggler do? What did CM Punk do? Although some people may come to their defense and say, well, they were just stating the obvious and they didn't run their mouth as much as Enzo. Guys, like I said, I'm not focusing on promo ability because he could run circles around most of the roster. The only problem is there was no fucking off switch when as to how he envisioned himself. There's no off switch to Enzo when it comes to interviews. They're paying me, bro. That's why I'm here. I wish I had the luxury of getting paid for a job interview because I've been to plenty. Now, you know, I finally have a steady job for the first time in forever. There comes a point when people don't, I mean, people will say, here's why I think he's fucked up. And then you're just basing it off your personal hatred for him. Well, I'm basing what I'm reporting to you is because I, like many other podcast hosts, are saying, I am a broadcast journalist, and I'm reporting to all of you wrestling news, something wrestling related. Take a listen to most of what people are saying, and also pay attention. Read and cite sources before you say something, or message us on Instagram. For those of you wanting to message us on Instagram, it's wrestle_radio. You can listen to us every Monday now from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. and all times will vary. But here's the deal, folks. There are some announcements that I would like to relay to you because it's near the tidbit end of our show, and I'll get back to the whole Enzo Amore rant here in just a second. Wrestle Radio is getting a makeover. I've noticed certain things on certain days, and boy, let me tell you, it's small world after all.
Mondays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. if they have a guest. Mondays from 4 p.m. to, well, the times will vary. 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. is the time window. Tuesdays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 p.m. an open time period depending on when I decide to do it. So, ladies and germs of the jury, for those of you wanting to put someone on blast because they run their mouth, my words of advice to you are as follows. Until you have walked a mile in someone else's shoes and know what they went through, then please, I beg you, I beseech you, I plead with you, do not say a goddamn thing. Despite you hating Enzo, I'm not saying you can't hate him. Because, you know, I gave him a lot of rope, and obviously, metaphorically, Enzo hung himself with said rope. It wasn't difficult, because no matter how many chances you give an individual, they will never work. No wonder, you know, okay, Rich Swann's out. That's really sad. Enzo, he's gone. And people are actually finally starting to pay attention to the cruiserweight division because of his stupid antics and his inability to wrestle. Yeah, I'm surprised that Enzo ended up in 205 Live after the trash that he spoke or trash that he talked about 205 Live. So I got to tell you right now, reading this allegation regarding Enzo Amore, there seems to be a whole lot more to it than what leads on. You know, they can't touch it because it's an allegation of rape. Had it been, you owe me money, then the same thing, you know, with Bray Wyatt and his wife. I don't touch on because it's none of my business. The reason why I'm relaying this to you guys is because Enzo, karma's a bitch, isn't it? You run your mouth enough, you have a bad attitude, you basically are the child that gets told to do something, half-asses it, and then turns on the creative wheels. I don't know what was going on, but you guys didn't notice, I think a hobo or Stevie Wonder must have been dressing Enzo because it was just, oh my goodness. It was awful. I used to really cheer this guy on because of the fact that he could promo pretty damn well. He couldn't work, but he, you know, he'd be much better off as a manager than a worker, in my opinion. A lot of people are smiling and laughing at me because they think, well, you do the same thing. You run your mouth and then go off tangent and tend to ramble. All right. I ramble, but I still get to the fucking point. Enzo Amore is one of those characters that you look at on paper and you say, okay, here's a guy, you know, from New Jersey. He has no experience in pro wrestling. He's in the belt middle for 6 years, okay? He started in 2012, wasn't really doing all that well. They repackaged him in 2013 and 14. 15, he starts taking off, soaring at the top of his career. He peaks, and then kaboom, all these fucking problems that they have in the back with this guy. If you think for 1 second, folks, that wrestling is really that fucking easy, then I hate to say this, but you can't predict this shit. Enzo had a lot of potential. The boss or bosses really liked the way that he was able to interact and commingle with the kids. But his personal life is to be left up to those who will sit there and judge and say,
Enzo's personal life was in shambles. It's like the rise and fall of a 31-year-old. The guy's only he's only a year older than most of my friends, and sometimes he might be right at the age of my friends. But when you have that guy or gal at work that runs their mouth and won't shut the fuck up, like Enzo, it gets to the point where you just steer clear of them because you know you're going to regret doing or saying something to this individual. And then you say to yourself, okay, eventually no karma is going to get you. Eventually I know that it's going to come for you. Well, Enzo Amore just experienced karma. Karma being the fact that when you expect people not to figure out that you were aware of your own rape allegations. Come on, bro. You didn't even report it to them. I'm pretty sure that would go off or go on a lot better or be presented a lot better than, yeah, I knew about it. I just didn't fucking care because it's going to fall off. Falls off, the WWE can call him back, but at the same token, now he's at the epicenter of controversy. He is at the absolute center of absolute controversy. And is it as bad as Richard Swann's? Well, there's video proof of him. There's no video proof of Enzo and this woman yet, because the police are officially, you know, investigating the whole allegation, the charges. They're going to probably look back at the tapes of the hotel. I'm pretty sure that if he's found out, folks, I know I sound like a fucking broken record, that this is the tail end. This is going to be like behind music story of one Eric Art / Enzo Amore. Cass is probably not even going to care. Maybe I'm wrong, but you give somebody so many chances and they just keep fumbling up. Why? You just get tired of it. So you find an avenue for them. You find another. He was given a big opportunity to replenish himself and reinvent himself in the cruiserweight division. It seemed like Enzo just didn't even fucking try. Like, he was working, but he was doing the same shit that he was in NXT. And I wonder if that's how shit was in NXT when he wasn't really on the main roster, and maybe he was doing better because he had people around him who cared. It's even worse when you read about this shit and you're like, is this the same guy? How are you doing? All those chances used to be in the arena. Now it, there's a mixed reaction in my head because he being Enzo, when you compare yourself to legends, when you have to change outside in the locker room, when you get kicked off a tour bus, and then of all things, you get accused by a stripper of not paying what you promised, and then you now get accused by another person. If there's messages on that phone, bro, you're done. Trust me, I've had my own personal experiences outside the ring. I didn't get, you know, in trouble at all. Because here's the thing, I have enough on my plate as is being how I am with my mental disease or my mental problems, okay? Nobody's fucking perfect. So we'll just see the development of this report between Enzo and said accuser, because it's all over Twitter. You know, it's not just over Twitter, it's Instagram and then some. So I'm just wondering, at what point in time is this all going to take effect? And I feel bad, you know, for WWE. But the same token, last night's show didn't make me feel any better. I'll discuss that more on Off the Rails. That'll be not the new name of it, but I keep saying there's going to be two parts. I'm going to talk about this. Part of what last night's discussion was the different types of fans and this, that, the other. That will be discussed tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, after 6 p.m. So be sure to tune in for Off the Rails Uncensored. We here at Wrestle Radio would like to say, well, I'm still looking for my co-host, and I know I'm going to find them because I've been discussing things. There have been talks. So for those of you who think I'm bullshitting, hold on to your hats. This person has some real knowledge about pro wrestling. Not just one person in this world who thinks they know everything and anything about pro wrestling. I got somebody, believe you me. I found someone. Been able to, you know, finagle the time. But once we get past that, folks, it'll be the best fucking time ever. And to finish things up, everyone makes mistakes, but holy hell, how many chances was Enzo given? A crap ton. And I'm not perfect either, but let me tell you this. If I was given the opportunity to go to WWE, there's points when you know when to shut your mouth, and there's points when you know on social media when you know exactly. You know exactly how to move forward in the company. And sure, you may get burned out, but it's well worth it, right? Anyways, folks, I am B-Train from Off the Rails Uncensored 2018. Well, Wrestle Radio Edition. My bad. Faux pas. If you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Oh, yeah, one more sentiment. Toodles, bitches. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost was so high.